Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to Small Biz Talk Radio. I'm Lori Leiker, your host. I'm a small business coach and I work with companies on business processes and human resources. Our guest today is Eric Collier. He's also a business coach in Austin, Texas. But one of the things that he does, and he's very, very good at it, is working with transitions, good or bad, because every transition causes some stress. So, Eric, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Tell me a little bit about your practice and how you focus, what you focus on, and who your clients tend to be.
I focus on executives that are taking on new challenges, that moving into new roles. In short, some sort of transition where they're either taking on more responsibility, in some cases getting ready to take on more responsibility. In some of my client systems, I work with emerging leaders so that they are ready when the time comes to step into a more significant leadership role.
But it would seem like a change like that would be a good change. Why would somebody need to have a transition coach help them with that?
Good question. When you take on a new role, when you step up to a higher level of responsibility, there's always new things to consider. New challenges arise simply because we haven't been in that situation before. Even an experienced manager who moves into a new organization has new business processes to consider, new people to consider, a mix of new organizational structures and systems to consider, and making that transition can be difficult. I mean, you can't anticipate everything. I guess it really goes back to the time when I was a senior manager in my corporate life at IBM, when we made some mistakes in hiring.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the managers had struggled, getting started. Some didn't make it. And what we concluded was that there were varying degrees of readiness to step up to new levels of responsibility, and we found that when new, even an experienced manager who was now becoming a leader of leaders, there were new challenges that the person needed to develop the skills to handle.
Well, often I work with managers who are one down. They're brand new managers. They've never had that responsibility before. And I find that changing from worker bee to manager seems to be a huge step. What do you find with managers who are existing managers who are really good at what they do moving into new or higher positions? What's the biggest stumbling block for them?
Well, the first level of management allows you to do a lot of what you've done before. So the skills in producing results, managing work, managing to get processes completed on time, a lot of that you can carry over from the non-management job. But once you get above that level, now you're leading leaders. Now there's a very different approach required, because the people below you, while they want and need guidance and direction, also want a degree of autonomy. And, you know, they've reached a certain status within the organization, and they are looking to grow. So your job is not so much to ensure that the day-to-day gets done, but your job is to more or less watch the day-to-day through the managers that report to you, but also to keep your eye on the horizon. Your job becomes more about anticipating the future, about making change, about visioning the future and building that bridge to the future.
How much responsibility does someone in a leadership role like that, where they're managing existing leaders, how much leadership training are they being called upon to provide to those who report to them?
Well, what's expected of that person is to be more of a coach. And the difference between I'm often confronted with, you know, are we doing coaching here? Are we doing mentoring? And in my mind, mentoring is about having you get acclimated into the culture, let's say, the way things are done around here. Coaching is more about guidance to develop your ability to come up with your own answers. So the job of the second level manager is to, or the more senior manager is to in fact, create more autonomy with the manager below them, so that they are constantly increasing their capacity to take on new responsibilities to make change.
So, in a sense, they're building the next generation of management for the company.
Exactly. And, you know, I think part of the issue here is that a person gets promoted or gets hired into a job, and too often there's an assumption made that the person's actually ready to do the job. Mm-hmm. And what we find is that, well, really, the being hired is based on potential. So you haven't really done the job, and we won't really know that you can do the job until you've actually done it. So there's a developmental process necessary, I think, that makes that makes transition more a process of developing, becoming acclimated, and really turning that potential into performance on the job.
Well, that makes sense. What about with someone who is really, really great at their job, but they get promoted past their experience level? For instance, you've got an awesome salesperson, your top salesperson. He gets promoted to sales manager. He's not going to make that transition easily. What can you do to help them make that transition?
Well, I saw that happen a lot in my corporate life, where we too often took our best salespeople and made them managers. And so the first thing is to have the individual understand that the job that they just took on is very different from the one they had before. And gain an appreciation for the difference between one who does and one who has others do. And
right.
So, yeah, so I do believe that that is the toughest transition that a person has to make, particularly someone who is very good at what they've done before as a salesman might be. And so the developing the sense that of what that job is and what those differences are is the first order of business. So it's all about the people and understanding the capacity of the people that you have reporting to you, understanding their talent, and being able to deploy that talent effectively. Now, in order to be successful at that, I think it's very important to understand yourself. You know, what's important? What do you believe about what effectiveness is? What's important to you in terms of your own values about work? It's important to be able to interact with people in a non-threatening manner, in a developmental manner, so that people feel empowered and ready to go out and meet those challenges. So often we have to help a person understand the challenges and the assets that are contained within their talent and their temperament, and how they can go about applying their talent and their temperament in an effective way to bring the best out of the people that report to them.
I get the feeling, though, having been in corporate America, and you have too, that not a lot of companies are really good at doing that.
Yeah. Well, I don't think for the most part that the corporation recognize the challenge of transition. I actually think in organizations, a lot of organizations I work in, there's a probationary period. So in the first year, you have to prove yourself. And then, you know, they make a decision as to whether or not you can stay at a job. I think a more appropriate approach is to really have a transition process where you do the appropriate job of assessing talent, temperament, readiness to step into the role. What are the things that are going to challenge this individual, and what do we do to develop the necessary capacity to meet all those challenges, which is what we do in a coaching relationship with understanding their belief systems, understanding their temperament, both the parts of the temperament that might promote good performance and that which might undermine their performance, as well as the things that they're really, 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 really good at. And then we take that and we use it in a way to meet those challenges. For example, back to the sales example, a salesperson has had to be good at asking questions to understand customer need. Well, the most powerful, or at least one of the most powerful tools that a leader has is the ability to ask powerful questions. The questions that would be asked of an employee or of a manager that's reporting to a more senior manager, they're different in terms of content, but the same kind of open-ended powerful questions that one learned to ask of customers are the ones that the kinds of questions that are appropriate to ask in terms of what you do when you're leading people. And so we take the whatever there is in the mix there and use it to address the requirements of the job. I think from the standpoint you can do this at the level of organization, you can do it at the level of individual, you can do it at the level of group, but there's got to be, a culture set that has certain norms and expectations of behavior. And those set the foundation for everything else that happens. And the individual then connects to those things. For example, Gallup's done a lot of work in research and leader effectiveness and their findings, they noted that followers want basically four things from leaders: trust, compassion, stability, and hope. Trust in terms of I can believe what you say, compassion in terms of you understand I am a human being, I have flaws, needs, desires, and talent. Stability that, you know, that you're not going to be different with me today than you were yesterday. And hope in terms of there's a future. In fact, someone is worried about the future, building a bridge over that canyon that might be far off in the horizon.
How can companies start earlier in the process? Because a lot of times this training and development of future managers doesn't start until the person's already promoted. How can companies set up programs? What type of programs do they need to set up so they can identify better identify and then train and develop those that are potential new managers?
Well, I think they have to start with early identification of talent. Based on a set of criteria that they determine that they want their leaders to have, and when they identify these folks early on that have the potential to step into leadership roles, then they should have formal development programs that they can participate in, and opportunities to lead projects and efforts where they don't necessarily have authority, but they do have an ability to influence outcomes and influence the people that are involved in the work. One of the things that that new managers have to learn is that they need to use authority judiciously. That is, get way more done using influence than you do when you have to use the force of authority. And if potential leaders are put in those positions where they learn how to actually use influence to get things done, they're in a much better position when they actually assume the leadership roles. So, and it really starts, I guess, in the hiring process. I mean, when you bring people on board, you should do so with not only with an eye towards the skills that you need that for the position you're hiring for, but what sort of future impact might this person have? Can they be a leader in this organization? And once you have had a chance to watch them perform and have had an opportunity to really discern what patterns of behavior they have in terms of not only completing work, but their ability to interact effectively with others and be a part of a team. At that point, you can make an assessment that this person has the potential to succeed at a higher level in terms of leadership, and then you can enter them into the leadership development program. So there may be classroom training as well as coaching. And in the work that I've done in Washington prior to moving here, I had a number of those folks where we identified early on what their blind spots were during the process of their development. And so when opening came about, they were ready to compete effectively and step into those this leadership role. So it's actually it's really gratifying to watch people grow, participate in that growth, and see them learn and step up to be able to handle greater levels of responsibility and do it well.
Well, don't you find, though, that in a lot of cases there's two things going against them? Oftentimes when managers are not well-trained, they often revert back to their gut-level instinct on how to deal with things, which is how they dealt with things when they were a kid. They either blame their little brother or they whine and complain or they get very defensive. And managers, a lot of times, if they're not adequately developed and not adequately led along, we'll revert back to that in the work setting as well, where they'll blame other people, they will act childishly, or they'll completely avoid the conflict and just stick their heads under a barrel. That could potentially stop someone from underneath wanting to come up in the organization, because people who are not reacting rationally, as a business person would, most often are the ones that are afraid for their jobs, and they don't want to promote anyone else along for fear that they'd lose their own jobs.
Yeah, we've encountered that. You know, one of the big problems is that there's not enough role models around to develop really great leaders. So people who engender that trust and that compassion and that stability in the workplace. So the big part of it is to ferret that out wherever we can, and to develop those skills and abilities so that people can meet those challenges. I think when an individual comes up against a talent that they have mastered before, they go to where what's tough with what I think you're saying. And when that happens, they stifle themselves and they stifle the people underneath them. So it really have to. There's got to be somebody in a responsible position that spots that and is really willing to take that on. But again, starting at the beginning, you know, if we've made the selection carefully and based on the right skills, the right temperament, we can avoid that. I mean, the way I avoided it when I was doing it was hiring managers was I started to give a little bit of a test in the interview process, and just very quickly, it was a role play situation where I had I played the role of a person who was just one of their new reports, direct reports. And I just stopped by to ask if my promotion was on track, to see how the person would respond to the situation. Now, most people try and get that right, and of course, there's no way to get it right because I'm not going to let you get it right. But on occasion, a person would ask me to sit down and establish a relationship. They start asking me questions so they could get to know me better and allow us now that, you know, on first meeting, I'm not approving your promotion, but, you know, this is your opportunity to convince me. Well, there's a person mm-hmm. who recognizes that their first job is to lead people.
Right.
So if the culture is structured in the right way and you know, leading people, respect for people is a primary value or basic belief of the organization, and you ensure that that is acted upon by the managers, you can limit the number of people that slip through the cracks. And I might add that when we started to really test people to see how they could respond to challenges of that nature, our success rate in hiring managers went way up.
That's fantastic. Eric Collier, we've been speaking with a business coach in Austin who specializes in helping especially executives work through transitions. Thank you so much for being with us today, Eric. If somebody wants to find you, what's your website?
BottomLineSolutions.com. And you can email me at eric@bottomlinesolutions.com.
Thank you so much, Eric. And thank you for listening today. You've been listening to Small Biz Talk Radio. This is Lori Leiker, and we're here every Tuesday bringing you the best information on small business. You can find me at smallbizcoaching.net, on Twitter at smallbizcoachtx, and on Facebook at Small Biz Coaching. We certainly hope that you'll join us next week. We'll have with us Brian Marshall, who works with disadvantaged businesses and business development. We thank you very much. We'll talk to you next week.